Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Arizona audit update straight from the front lines. We know Arizona better than any other team out there, and we have the update of what's happening there. And I'm telling you, the Democrats are fighting unbelievably hard to make sure that the truth does not get out. Real audits are happening in Arizona. We are joined by Tyler Boyer, who knows this very well. A lot of you remember him back from the election. Smart guy, very wise, and national committeeman for Arizona, amongst many other things. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some of our very generous supporters that have gotten behind us. I want to thank Diana from Kentucky. Thank you. I want to thank Mark from San Jose. Thank you. I want to thank Sarah from Vermont. Thank you. I want to thank Caitlin from Ohio. Thank you. And I want to thank Robert from California. Thank you. And Lewis from Brooklyn, New York. God bless you. Thank you for that. If you guys want to get behind us and help us in our mission to reach millions of people, it's charliekirk.com/support. Email this podcast to your friends or text it to your friends. Make sure you're subscribed. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Boy, do we have a lot to get to. We are going to be covering what is happening in Arizona with the Arizona audit, a recount, going through to try to find out if there was any sort of shenanigans and tomfoolery and nonsense that happened in the 2020 election. It's finally happening. In fact, I think we're going to be joined today by Tyler Boyer. I think he's going to be coming on, who knows this better than anyone else. And he's the National Committeeman for Arizona, also happens to be our Chief Operational Officer at Turning Point USA. So I look forward to exploring that with him. He knows Arizona very well. People have been messaging me, Charlie, what's going on in Arizona? I say, I kind of know, and I spent about an hour researching it last night. But I even have some questions for Tyler. So we're going to learn alongside one another throughout this hour. But I want to tell you something that happened in the last couple days, this last weekend. So this coming weekend, I was scheduled to speak in Seattle, Washington, at a good man's church, Roger Archer. It's called Motion Church, and they were planning to host me for a big event. So they started promoting it. And this is in Seattle, Washington. And so word got out that Charlie Kirk was coming to Seattle. And I was going to bring the message that we share on this radio program and our podcast every single day. I was going to talk about some very basic things, taking responsibility for your life, deferred gratification, working hard and playing by the rules, believing in ultimate truth, treating other people well, and pursuing dialogue. Now, those messages are considered to be so threatening and such a danger to the people of Seattle that Antifa got word of this. The same people that planned Chaz and Chop, you remember that sovereign country that was created in Seattle, that our leaders did not take very seriously. So they started to threaten mobilization and violence against my visit, my upcoming visit in Seattle, Washington. And so this started to grow, and there was even estimates that 1,200 masked and armed Antifa people could be there in response to my visit to Seattle. Now, the way I handle things and the way that we prefer to handle things is to hold the line and to not allow these terrorists to treat communities as a hostage situation. But this pastor, Pastor Roger Archer, he's on the front lines, and I'm not one to say that I know any better than him, because he's the one that would have to deal with the fallout if Antifa decided to burn down neighborhoods just because I decided to come and visit. Cut 22 is the message that Pastor Archer gave to his congregation, saying that we have been forced to cancel because Antifa is threatening us. Cut 22.
Upon hearing that Mr. Kirk was coming to our church, radical terrorist mobs, like the ones that rallied in Capitol Hill in Seattle, they sprung into action. They sprung with threatening declarations. They vowed to not only burn our properties to the ground, but also brought threats of physical violence against our church leadership, our neighbors, their properties, and basically wreak havoc in our community. It is for the safety of my precious city and our precious church people that we have heartbreakingly canceled our event with Mr. Kirk.
Now, my heart goes out to Roger Archer and his leadership team. They wanted to host me. They had enough boldness and courage to advertise me. But I think they realized that we're up against something a lot more sophisticated and, quite honestly, more venomous and pernicious and evil than I think they quite realized. And that's okay. But I hope every pastor in every church in the country is watching this closely. This is a church who came under direct terrorist threat. And so you might be asking yourself, how are we allowing this to happen, Charlie? Well, first of all, I'm a guest, okay? I'm not the one calling the shots up there. And again, I'm actually seeing it from their perspective because these people got into the ministry to try to heal and to love, and all of a sudden 1,200 armed mass terrorists threatened to congregate outside their church. They say, I thought we've loved our community the last couple decades. We are in a moment right now that a lot of Christians are confused by. We're in a moment right now that a lot of Americans are confused by. And this, we saw this happen in Minneapolis, and we've seen this happen through the words of Maxine Waters, get more confrontational. Mobilize in the streets. The rule of America right now is that if you get enough people into the streets of our country, you get your way. You're upset with an election result. You're upset with the way that something has been conducted, like a jury decision or Charlie Kirk coming to Seattle. Show them your muscle. Now, the government, the role of government is to protect our first freedoms. We've been through this many different times. That we as conservatives believe our rights come from our Creator and from God. It's not some mistake that we have these rights. And it's government's role and responsibility to protect our rights. Now, there are two clauses in the United States Constitution that protect religious worship. The Establishment Clause and the Free Expression Clause. The Free Expression Clause is more applicable here. To be able to worship is a constitutionally protected activity. And it is the government's responsibility to protect people if their right to worship comes under threat. But the governor of Washington, Governor Inslee, is completely uninterested in using taxpayer-funded National Guardsmen or resources to make sure that people can worship. Cut 23.
Well, recent history has taught us that there is an apparent lack of interest at the state level of leadership to protect decent tax-paying citizens. Those terrorist mobs know that there is no consequence for their lawlessness. They have nothing to lose and nothing to fear. The soft targets of churches, the elderly, women, children, and law-abiding citizens are vulnerable to anarchists who live free of the fear of reprisal. This is the state that we live in.
So this is Pastor Archer, who is saying publicly, hey, old people, women, and children might get hurt or killed if I host Charlie Kirk. That's right. That's where we're at. That if I go and speak in one of the 50 states, Washington, in Seattle, a pastor is afraid that his congregation, his buildings, and his people will be hurt or possibly killed. The governor is nowhere to be seen, of course, because he's actually supportive of this. The governor knows that Antifa is the muscle of the Democrat Party. Now, we talked about this at length on one of our podcasts this last weekend of who is funding Antifa, who is behind Antifa. And if that interests you at all, you should take out your podcast app and type in the Charlie Kirk Show. We had a great interview with Andy Ngo. How is this America? Well, it's because we did not draw the line early enough against these people. We did not say very clearly what is acceptable and unacceptable behavior in our country. Instead, when Antifa burns federal courthouses or storms police precincts like they did in Seattle, very few people get arrested and very few people then get charged. And I hope you all understand there's a difference between being arrested and charged. Some of these people get arrested and then the DA just drops the charges 2 weeks later. And make no mistake, this sort of model of pandering to the anarcho-terrorists is spreading. It's spreading to San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Denver. It's spreading to Milwaukee, Chicago. What they have perfected in Seattle and Portland is that, oh, you have a right to speak, but you might get a cement brick thrown at your head. Oh, you have a right to speak, but your church is going to get burned down. You have a right to speak, but we're going to go terrorize elderly people in wheelchairs and six-year-olds. We're going to go burn down your neighborhoods. So I will not be at Motion Church this next weekend. And it's coming to a neighborhood near you. The only way to deal with terrorists is not to negotiate with terrorists. You show them what is acceptable and unacceptable, and you stand for truth. This is not an isolated incident. This is spreading like wildfire. Because we've always tried to sue for peace, and they're playing for keeps. We are going to be joined very soon, momentarily, by Tyler Boyer, who is the expert on all things Arizona. I'm still learning the landscape here in Arizona. You guys might remember the live stream we did where I literally had all the counties of Arizona lifted up. And I think I remember many of them. Pinal, Maricopa. There were some others too. I don't remember all of them. But there's only like 9 counties in Arizona. But we had a lot of fun. And it's so funny. I was actually just at an event this last weekend. And the number one piece of feedback I get is, Charlie, you kept me sane through the election when we were trying to figure out what was happening. So that's a great piece of feedback. And so to kind of close the loop, I will not be in Washington this weekend. And that's a shame. And the pastor was very gracious and he apologized. And I get it. I really do. And I get the situation he's in. But where are the other churches standing beside Pastor Archer? Silent. Eat us last. You see, the equivalent, it's so funny, Victor Davis Hanson and I think so. I don't know which where one idea starts and one stops. I listen to his commentary so often. And so I was listening to one thing that Victor said, and we said this like 2 months ago, which is the BLM flag is the equivalent of in Exodus when you put the blood over your door to try and have the Spirit of the Lord or God pass over your house. Like, do not kill my firstborn because I have the BLM flag. It's exactly what it is. Whenever you see a church with a BLM flag, they're trying to say, please do not destroy our church. That's what they're trying to say. There's some big stuff happening out of Arizona, everybody. Drama, intrigue, and the left is freaking out. We have to play offense. The only way to deal with what's happening in America is a massive, bold, no excuses, forward-thinking counter move against the people that wish to deconstruct our country. And in Idaho, I was just there with some of my very good friends. They are passing an anti-critical race theory piece of legislation. And it's very exciting. And so it's House Bill 377, and it will probably hit the Senate Tuesday or Wednesday. And the bill basically says that it prevents biased indoctrination from being taught in schools with taxpayer funding across Idaho. It's a good bill. Now, whether or not this gets signed into law and gets passed to the Senate, we will see. But if we do not play offense about core American values, saying that critical race theory is an ideology, it's a belief, it's a philosophy that we will not tolerate, then what good is our government? You see, the left has realized that they are going to use the apparatus of taxpayer-funded systems to make America in their desired image. It's about time that conservatives start to do the same. That we as Americans and conservatives say, wait a second, the people have given us power for many decades. What have we done to actually substantially change public education to have our kids love America? Now, some conservatives say, well, we don't like doing that because it's the power of the state. Wait a second. If a state is not actively engaged in the replication of your values, then what good is the state? This kind of indifference that we are going to allow the left to dictate curriculum, we're going to allow the left to dictate what our children are learning. What could possibly be more important for the success and the future of our republic than the education of our children? And so what's happening in Idaho right now, I hope spreads, and I hope it gets signed into law, which is very exciting. Again, it's House Bill 377. And I want to just mention this because I know so many state legislatures. I know so many people in Idaho that are doing this work. And I want to really point out Representative Wendy Horman, who's a Republican from Idaho Falls, and she's pushing forward here. And the left is playing offense in every single arena, adding new states. Washington, D.C. is a state. Court packing, H.R. 1, H.R. 5. So they need to know that if they are going to have a cultural blitzkrieg against the fabric of our republic, then we are going to stay what we stand for. We're not just going to always play defense. We're not just always going to be fly swatting in state legislatures, which it feels like all we do is say no to their ideas. How about we push forward meaningful legislation that makes our kids love America again, that protects women's sports, that clearly defines what a functioning and healthy family is, that attempts to try to boost church attendance, that protects small businesses and goes after Amazon. That's what the conservative movement should stand for. So I'm pleased to see this in Idaho. Idaho's changing quickly, everybody. I hope you know that. They're trying to make it into a new Washington or Oregon, but bills like this are not going to let that happen. I have to tell you about this incredible movie, Roe vs. Wade. This is not a documentary. It's a real Hollywood movie with actors like John Voight, friend of mine, Stacey Dash, and John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy, and even L.A. Law's Corbin Burnson. Not some boring movie about a court case. No, no, no. I was blown away to learn about how Planned Parenthood manipulated the courts and lied to the media back in the 70s, all for power and greed. And this was a mass conspiracy, including the corruption of Supreme Court justices. Literally the most famous court case in American history that everyone has heard about, but no one knew anything about. Finally, the truth comes out. Hollywood and the media have tried to stop this movie from coming out. It could get canceled any moment and banned every day. So go see it right now before they remove it from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, or download it from your major cable or satellite carrier. It's on demand. Enjoy Roe vs. Wade, the movie, today. We are joined by Tyler Boyer, who is Mr. Arizona. He knows everything that's happening in this beautiful state. And you guys remember him from the live stream. And we are back. Tyler, welcome.
Thanks, Charlie. Happy to be here.
Tyler's also the COO of Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action and does some great, great work. We have a big event tonight in San Diego. Looking forward to seeing you there. Okay, Tyler, what is going on in Arizona?
Oh, my gosh. Where do we even start? So let's rewind and take ourselves all the way back to where this whole thing started. So basically, just to give everybody a quick recap of where Arizona is, why we are where we are today, essentially in Maricopa County, which is the largest county in Arizona, it's about two-thirds of the state, maybe a little bit more, depending upon what you look at for population. They had some significant concerns about how they were doing business because years ago, now we're going back 4 years, the Democrats worked really, really hard to replace our county recorder with a radical Democrat who just got unelected. He just got beat in the 2020 election. And so a lot of people had a lot of questions with about the funny business that was going on in Maricopa County. And so some of that was is that that county recorder, who was a Democrat, was trying to do what we've seen all over the country, which was give everybody a ballot. All sorts of things, like all the things that we've been discussing, right? Which including and involving this election cycle was the first election cycle they didn't do a legitimate hand count by precinct.
They did not do that.
They did not do that. That was the big qualm.
And why didn't they do that?
Well, because of COVID, right? Oh. They instituted all of these voting centers, right? And the voting centers, there were questions with because there wasn't a single full precinct that was counted, hand counted in Maricopa County. And Maricopa County has over 700 precincts. So it's a lot of precincts. It's a huge, huge county. It's bigger than like 30 states, something like that.
Jeez.
And so that didn't happen. And then there was a lot of questions like we've been seeing all over the country with mail-in ballots, right? Which is, was a hand count, how was the adjudication process done on the hand count verification for each of the, or for the signature verification for each of these ballots? And so these are the questions that are being discussed and that people are diving into. So let's fast forward to where we're at today. So the Arizona Senate has actually done a really good job, has done their job.
Good.
And demanding that an audit be done. And so they subpoenaed essentially all of the voting equipment and ballots. And they were in this huge legal battle, essentially, with the left when the left was trying to stop them, including our Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, was that's predominantly Republican, unfortunately, was really trying to get in the way and stop them from, you know, their legal recourse that they have here to subpoena the ballots. And so they finally won all of that. They finally got possession of them. They basically rented out the old
fairgrounds.
Yeah, at the fairgrounds, the old Phoenix Sun Stadium, which is the which is where they're doing this the whole thing right now. That's where they moved all the ballots to. And so that's where the ballots have gone. And in the meantime, basically Mark Elias and Perkins Coie and
huge law firms.
Huge law firms. This is like the left's
the top
legal
two.
Yeah, this is their entire artillery, right? They're sending
$2,000 an hour lawyers.
Huge. I mean, these are this is what we're up against on our side. Conservatives are up against.
They're filing lawsuits like crazy, right?
So Mark Elias is not just an attorney, not just a powerhouse attorney. He also runs the Protect Democracy Project, which is a nonprofit, which is just all they do across the entire country is recruit radical leftist attorneys to essentially, you know, help push forward these same, you know, insane, you know, very dishonest voting practices across the country.
So I want to play a clip here of Rachel Maddow of just how the left is reacting to what's happening here in Arizona. Just to give you some context, play tape.
Are doing here, this process by which they are bastardizing the actual secure election from November 2020, and they're going to produce some result that says that it was some other fraudulent thing, will be used by the Trump part of the Republican Party and the Trump right to cast doubt on the 2020 election among their most fervent supporters in a way that none of their failed lawsuits in the past have been able to do. They got the actual ballots and they handed them to conspiracy theorists who say that, you know, QAnon is the mastermind or whatever it is that stopped this, that they need to use to stop the steal and all.
Okay, so that's Rachel. I know you don't have sound in, Tyler. That's Rachel Maddow saying that the ballots have changed custody. So let's walk through what's happening right now. There's a bunch of people in a stadium, and we'll show some clip from that. And they're going through an audit process.
So they just barely started the audit process this last week. I believe it was Friday was when they began the process. They brought in an auditing firm. The firm is Cyber Ninjas.
It's quite a name.
Yeah, they are the ones that are responsible for conducting the audit. Actually, online, if you follow any of this, and if you see some images of this, they have a lot of different individuals across the floor of where they're doing the audit in different color T-shirts. These are different groups doing different things. So some of them are checking the folds and creases, which is a big issue.
What do you mean?
In the mail-in ballots. So one of the complaints and one of the things that people are looking for are, well, you know, if you mail in a ballot, there's folds and creases from the mail, right? And so, you know, are all those existent, right? And if not, you know, what's the answer for that? And do those, again, on the signature verification ballots. And so some of them are doing some signature verification. Some are taking a look at the adjudication pieces. And then the big core part, which is really, I think, is the most important part to me, is the hand count verification of the actual physical ballots to the numbers that
on the
system
machines.
Yeah.
So actually cross-referencing a tabulation.
Yeah. And this is really, I think, what's most important, which is why this is so common sense, is that I'm a believer that every election in America should have a physical ballot to back up the number that shows up on any machine. And that's not the case in every state, but it is the case for Arizona. So Arizona, you do have a physical ballot for every vote.
By law.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it works. And so they can verify, if they wanted to, that the physical ballot exists for whatever number actually shows up on the system. So that's what they're essentially doing. That's basically what they're doing, is like the baseline, right? And they're looking at a couple of these other things that I think are important to, you know, instilling confidence in what happened. But, you know, all along the way, these leftist attorneys are now coming in an army format. I mean, there's dozens of attorneys that are here that are just trying to look for ways to thwart the process. And so, you know, in general, you know, you have, you know, and again, I love our Senate president. Her name's Karen Fan. She's like, like most legislators in most states, like the way that the founders wanted intended.
Total citizen government.
Citizen government, right? Like Karen is a very competent lady, but she's
a good Karen.
She's a good Karen, right? She's nice, and really she deserves a lot of credit because she's pushed forward through all this. It would have been real easy to buckle and not do anything, but our Arizona Senate is more conservative, I think, than it's ever been, and they're wanting to do the right thing on behalf of Arizona citizens. So. They've moved forward, they've trudged forward, and now they're in this battle of a lifetime now. The Arizona Senate is with these leftist attorneys that are coming from out of state, and some that are from around here that are just radicalized and recruited via this
Mark Elias.
Yeah, Mark Elias, Democracy Docket and Protect Democracy Project.
C4s. Yeah. I want to play this clip from Chris Hayes. After this clip, Tyler, I want you to walk through what's happening with the judge and the attorney general after this clip.
A lot of news happened yesterday.
Yeah, because I'm still trying to make sense of it. Okay, let's play Chris Hayes.
Not only are they introducing restrictive voting legislation, they are also undertaking a truly insane audit of the 2020 election vote 5 months after the election. No, I'm not making up. This. They are actually, look, they're doing it as we speak. That's them. That's them auditing the vote. This is a live shot of an actual audit of the actual physical ballots that were cast.
So, Tyler, you didn't hear it. He just said they're actually doing the audit right now. And so this is going to take how long?
So that's the question. So, I mean, look, this should be a pretty quick process if the Democrats stop trying to stifle the entire process, right? Mm. So, again, let's look at this. It's an audit, right? Just like you would audit your finances, just like you would audit from an accounting perspective. There is – the whole purpose of audit is to take a paper trail.
Yeah.
Take a paper trail, make sure it matches up with the books, right? Yeah. So that, you know, people aren't cooking the books or there's not issues that exist that were unanticipated. You know, truly here, if the left really felt like there were no issues, why would they be fighting
the paper trail? Rachel Maddow screaming at the camera?
It's not like we can inject, like, there's no way in this process. And if they're, you know, they become the conspiracy, they're the bigger conspiracy theorists in this. If they're trying to say that we're, like, the entire Arizona Senate, which is an elected representative body, is somehow going to, like, manipulate the election in a very public setting that's very open. And so the scenario that we have right now is that you have Democrats essentially, when it boils down to it, trying to stop a basic audit process that they say that there are no issues with the election. They're just trying to carry this out, do it as quickly and rapidly as possible and efficiently. To make sure and effectively to make sure that they're doing the right thing. So we're actually doing what the voters want, which is to verify the results. But the Democrats are the ones that are holding this process up. I mean, if it takes weeks or even months to do this, it'll be because they've sent in a legion of attorneys in here to try to stop the process.
Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bedsheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk.
What's going on with the attorney general and the judge?
So I can't really speak to the attorney general's involvement, but
he said, I'll get the story, but what's going on with the judge?
Well, first what happened this weekend was the Democrats came in and wanted to halt the process. And the judge came back and said, okay, $1 million bond.
Yes.
And we can do this and we can address some of these issues that you're saying. And then the Democrats said, we don't have $1 million to put up. And so, or we didn't want to do that because they didn't want to all of a sudden, because once that's up, then then we were, I think the Senate and the conservative side was going to start nicking away at that and basically pocket all that money, and they didn't want to play that game. And so they backed off of that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere yesterday, the judge that's in charge of this whole deal recused himself. And it was based, again, this is why they're bringing in all these attorneys, is because they're just papering the process. So if there's even any wiggle room around anything, they're going to do it. So
this is lawfare. It really is.
Basically, the Democrats have filed in, and there's literally three law firms.
It's a platoon.
A platoon of attorneys to basically look for every – they're every crack in everything that they can possibly find, they will find. And then they are going to – their entire goal is just, I think, to paper this thing to death. So then everyone finally gives up and they move out, right? So that's the other thing too, is remember the legislature right now is in session. But
expires in June.
They could be done soon, right? And so I think part of their strategy too is they want to drag this thing out, because if they find something wrong, then it takes a 2/3 vote for the legislature to go back into session in order to actually start passing more laws to correct the things that they possibly find within this. So even if they're small things, and it's like not overturning the election and all those things, which we don't know until we know what the results of the audit are. But if there are really big things, if there are small things that need to be corrected, if the legislature has closed, then that becomes an issue because they can't fix those things. Anyways.
That's such a good point. And they're going to run out the clock.
Yeah, they're trying to run out the clock. And then also if they drag this thing out, and if the state Senate needs to do something and there's issues that come up and they've closed out session, they can't vote and do things. They can't actually give more. And so I think that what they're trying to do is they're trying to paper us to death here on this thing. They're going to try to hold this thing up, elongate it, prolong it as long as they can. And then the legislature is going to, they're going to be able to pick off a few Republicans, shut down the legislative session. And then we're going to be hamstrung with nothing to be able to do once they come out of this. Now, this plays really into what we saw yesterday happen, which is they'll find every crack in the system here. A guy who is a junior associate with Cyber, that is at the firm that is representing Cyber Ninjas, was an extern for the judge. So an extern is just kind of like when you're typically in law. I don't know the details of what is externship.
It's like a lawyer intern.
But typically it's like when you're in law school, like you have to do a certain amount of externships where you just have to go down and just basically follow a judge and its staff around and things like that. So I don't know exactly what his job was, but I get the feeling he wasn't super involved with Judge Corey's work and business that was down there. But still, they found it. And so the judge yesterday recused himself because this guy who's working for this law firm that's representing Cyber Ninjas is there. And so now we don't know. We're waiting on pins and needles to see who's going to pick. Who the new judge is going to be. And there's a lot of people already online saying this is a plot. This is an internal plot. This is more of when you're up against an army of lawyers, they're going to catch everything. And so you have to know you have to be totally prepared. And in this case, I think that, some things were missed. I don't know, if the past judge was going to be the best situation. Maybe we're going to end up with a better judge. Yeah. The likelihood is based off of my knowledge of Maricopa County Superior Court judges, is that's probably not the case.
So just so everyone understands, there was a judge that was ruling in favor of this audit happening, and then these out of town.
Well, he placed this $1 million thing, right? So, and that didn't happen. Yeah, the bond. And so it was looking pretty good.
But then Perkins Coie comes in with their stormtroopers of lawyers, and they find one thing of one person who's employed by Cyber Ninjas, conflict of interest, and they submit a motion and the judge agrees. That's what happens when you have really good attorneys versus mediocre attorneys. I want you to think how many times in these states where Trump filed lawsuits that the people that were working had conflict of interest that we didn't catch.
Yeah.
So we only have a couple seconds remaining here, Tyler, but the long and short of it is this is happening. And it's a live ball, to use a Schumer phrase.
So they're moving forward. The audit is going to move forward. We'll see who the judge actually ends up being here. But the name of the game here is that we've got to go to war, you know, basically legal war to get over these hurdles and stop the papering that's going to happen to try to slow this thing down.
I'm going to say this. I think there's something there. I think the more we look into it, the more we're going to find. I don't know the extent of it. I don't know the depth of it. But you could tell by how the Democrats are reacting that they are nervous that something might get uncovered. Tyler, you're going to have to come back.
We'll have a short segment. We'll have big stuff in the next couple of days, and we'll come back and keep
big stuff
up.
Coming, everybody. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.